Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Word of Mom Radio Network. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and you know that we're here week after week breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between, you know, bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, savvy businesswomen finding that balance between building a business and raising a family. And you know I love my Tuesdays and the Tuesday Business Spotlight. And today we are here with the Managing Mompreneur Mayhem Show and the wonderful Sina Block. Sina is a mompreneur mentor, a facilitator, an author, a motivational speaker, and obviously a talk show host. And she's the founder of SaneSpaces.com. And she helps solo and small business owners and mompreneurs who struggle to manage everything in the time they have. She helps weave past professions into manageable, successful businesses that support them to live a life they love. Sina shows her clients how to create effective systems, take care of themselves, and create the levels of support needed for their self-defined success. And I encourage you to take a look at SaneSpaces.com, which is her fabulous website, and you can always visit WordOfMomRadio.com. Every other week, Sina shares great tips and great information in blog posts that she shares with all of our listeners. So, hi, Sina. Happy Tuesday.
Hello. Hi, Dori. How are you? I'm glad we're through with our tornadoes and rain squelches around here in northeast Pennsylvania. So we're having a better day today, for sure.
Yeah, it's sunny and beautiful here today. But yesterday, oh, my gosh, it's my son's birthday tomorrow. And so tonight, I can't believe he's going to be 24. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. I'm 17 in my soul. I don't know how all of my kids have gotten older than me. And tonight's the night he's coming down, and we're doing his birthday dinner. Right after I do all of the food shopping, I come walking outside, and the skies just opened up. And it was like, are you kidding me? I mean, it was torrents of rain. It was so funny. And, of course, get into the car after, you know, some nice lady was like, I'll keep your carriage here. I drove the car around, got everything in. As soon as I got everything into the house, stop raining. I'm like, yeah, of course.
You know? Yeah, it came through really fast and furious. So, yeah, us too. We had everything was canceled. It was like this big, terrible thing. And then it was just kind of, it just pushed through quickly and nothing really happened. But that's okay. It's fine. They're getting ready for snow season here soon.
Oh, there you go. Happy, happy, joy, joy. The next phase. I'm happily enjoying New England change of season, and really hasn't even come, the understory hasn't gone yet. So I'm still really enjoying just all of the colors and everything. And I'm excited about your show today. So I want to turn everything over to you, because I know you have a jam-packed lineup today.
Yes, I do. I have two really great friends who have joined me today, and I want to introduce them both first, and then I'll start with my power-packed interview questions. First of all, our topic today is creating and launching your signature programs, and for so many entrepreneurs and small business owners, they put this particular piece off for so long. So I'm really hopeful that this show will be helpful to a lot of different people. So let me introduce first Andrea Cinnamond. She has a business, and her website is womenrocktheinternet.com. She works with new and established entrepreneurs, showing them how to automate their website marketing, attract ideal clients, and grow their business by sharing great content and staying top of mind. Her process is outlined in her report, 5 Simple Steps to Rock the Internet. Get clients, get results, and shine online. She increases the effectiveness of her clients' websites by employing and streamlining automated marketing tools and helping people focus so that they can keep things simple. The results are bigger email lists and more engagement with the community, and hopefully, always, a busier, more profitable, fun business. She's a very savvy ex-virtual assistant, an online business manager to a few lucky clients, and she also is a creative strategist and business coach who helps work with helps people who are small business owners bring their ideas to light. And I can certainly vouch for that. Andrea is really great to brainstorm with and work with if you have a big idea you want to bring forward. So welcome, Andrea.
Well, thank you very much, Sina. What a great introduction. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. And I'm just going to ask you to go on hold for a minute while we introduce our second guest today. And that is Irvi Mehta, and she's known as the social media gal. She trains and consults entrepreneurs on how to use social media marketing and how to use it so that they can grow their business by creating buzz and brand influence online. Irvi has co-founded a company called PREasy, and that's PREasy.com. It's a full-service internet marketing company which serves clients and students in U.S., in Canada, in the U.K., and Australia. Through PREasy, Irvi radically increases her clients' online presence and gets them massive exposure and buzz, which brings in qualified prospects to the website and to enhances their social media presence. So if you have a question about how to bring things out into the social media spectrum, Irvi is your gal. So welcome, Irvi.
Thanks for having me here, Sina. I'm very excited to be here.
Thanks so much. I'm really thrilled to bring you two together, first of all, two people who've been influential in my business growth and certainly, you know, close enough to help me with some strategies of Sane Spaces and certainly help me bring those pieces together in terms of my online presence and how to use follow-up marketing and messaging sequences and automating things. So it can be difficult. It can be scary out there. And a lot of people just don't know what they don't know about the internet. So why don't we start, first of all, with you, Andrea. Tell us a little bit about why systems are your thing.
Systems are my thing because it comes pretty naturally to me. I'm an ex-high-tech scientist and, you know, worked in different places in the world, lived in Australia for 10 years, worked all over the place. And science is very systematic. You can't do an experiment without doing all the steps and having things ready. And so I've just learned to be very systematic with time. I always thought it was funny when my friends went to go home and they'd start an experiment at three, a five-hour experiment at 3 o'clock, when I started my five-hour experiment at 10 in the morning. And so, you know, I just was very economical with time and understood the steps. There was no skipping a step because then your experiment didn't work. Mm-hmm. So that's where I get, you know, my systems.
That's great. I didn't realize you were a scientist back in the before. That's
cool. Yeah, BC, four children.
Yeah, and so interesting because guess what? Irvi, tell us a little bit about your background.
This is definitely interesting.
It is.
So I actually come from a background in molecular cellular biology as well, so semi-scientist, if you will. And I was, I guess you would call it the typical Indian kid where either you went on to medical school or you became an engineer. Well, I didn't do either one of those. Instead, I married an engineer. And, you know, when I didn't get into med school, I thought, okay, what am I going to do with my life? This is all I've known to do. This is what I studied for, what I went to school for. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm just going to get a job in the meantime. And then, of course, my parents were like, well, you've, you know, graduated. You've got your master's now. And the ideal step at that point was to get married. I thought, okay, you know, I'm not allowed to date all this time, and then now you want me to just jump into a marriage. Like, great, what am I going to do? And, you know, and this is back in 2001, and there was a Indian matrimonial website, and they ended up creating my profile on there, and I actually found my husband. So I guess you could say we were true believers of online marketing from the beginning.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we got talking. Within 3 months, we're engaged. A year and a half later, we're married. And I ended up moving to Michigan because he worked at Ford Motor Company at the time from Arizona. And I was looking for a job, couldn't find one, and, you know, in my degree, and I thought, okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, we started a real estate investing business in the meantime, because both of us come from families of entrepreneurs, and I fell in love with being able to work for myself, not have to go to the 9 to 5, and just really started to love even the world of teaching, and that's how I really got passionate into teaching. I mean, if you were to meet me, I'm a very shy introvert type of a gal in any type of a networking space, but put me in front of a group to train people, and I love it. I found that that is my element. And through real estate, we started a real estate investment club, had to learn marketing, so learned online marketing as a result. And then I started to, and so social media started to become pretty popular. This is back in like 07, 08. At that time, it was new, and just started to fall in love with how it helped me meet more people in a space that I was comfortable in. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started social media, and we started PRZ at that time as well.
That's, you know, that's so interesting, Irby, because you self-professed as an introvert. And I hear so many people, of course, I'm self-professed as an extrovert, which is probably not any surprise to anybody who has ever met me or even seen me in public. But it's interesting because I think a lot of introverts are intimidated by social media. But you bring up an interesting point. It kind of gives you complete control.
No, definitely. Complete control because you can learn about the individuals even before you start a conversation based on what they've put in their profiles. And it can really help to bring up the talking points of when you do approach them online. And it then helps when I, you know, if I meet them in real life, as we put it now, like at an event, at a conference, they already know so much more about me and I know so much about them that it just makes that initial introduction in the real life space so much easier for me, and it's really just helped me be able to get out of my shell, if you will, and meet more people.
That's wonderful. Well, let's start talking about this whole signature program, launching a program online. I know a lot of my clients are in the place where they may have been in business for several years already, like 3 to 5 years, and they still are intimidated by going public with their message. They may have done little talks at libraries, or they may have, you know, gathered groups of people in their industry or in their place, but in their place of expertise. But a lot of people get really trumped when it comes to a signature system or program and then going bigger with it. So let's make sure we're all on the same page with the idea of what it is. So I don't really care who wants to answer this one, but what would you call a signature system?
This is Andrea.
Great.
And I believe a signature system is a container to hold the basic steps that you would work with, you know, a new client, and it gives a framework that ideal clients that are looking at your website can really relate to. Because many times, you know, my analogy is I take my car into the Volvo dealer for a winterize. I live in Boston, so I need it to be winterized. And I don't really care how they do it. I just know the result is going to be my car is going to be ready for winter. And so what a signature system lets you do is it lets you outline the results that they're going to get in these steps that you've outlined. And so the first step might be an intake, and the second step might be a values assessment, you know, whatever your steps are. But it's a container that gives, you know, a framework around your what you are passionate about.
I love that metaphor. That really works very well. Awesome. Irby, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, sure. I actually, very similar to Andrea, is I help it, the way I use a signature talk or a signature system is that I want to be known for one thing in particular, and it helps me craft my ideas into one program. And so, therefore, when I deliver it to my ideal clients, my ideal prospects, they know exactly what it is that I can offer to them. And that doesn't mean that you don't do, you know, other aspects of the business, but you need to give them an entry point to get to know you, like you, and build that trust factor with you.
An entry point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So that's excellent. And I guess, you know, part of it for a lot of people, Irby, is that it's hard to pick just one thing.
Yeah, trust me, I have battled that many, many times, and especially in the social media space, there's so many different networks out there, and there's different ways that you can use each one of the different networks, such as Facebook or LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, YouTube, there, you know, you name it, there's a separate training around it. And I used to do trainings where I trained on all of them. And I realized that that became overwhelming for people who were just getting started or starting to become even familiar with social media, is when I tried to teach them everything, they didn't know where to start. When I honed in more onto my signature system and I said, okay, what do I really want to be known for and focus on to help people start to generate business so they can see results? And I found that that passion lied within LinkedIn. So now I've changed it to where I promote myself as a LinkedIn speaker trainer primarily when I'm meeting new people and I'm doing my webinars and I'm doing my signature talks. But I do have training programs on the other one. So once they've mastered LinkedIn, then they can go and look into the other programs that we offer as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And obviously you've done enough market research to realize that you have a client base there in the LinkedIn arena.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes. We're very much B2B, helping small business owners. And that's been a great lead gen source for us out of all the different networks out there.
Great. Great, great. So let's start with some of the basics of what, you know, if someone's sitting here listening to this and saying, oh, my gosh, I have so many ideas. I have so much stuff that flies by. I'm so unfocused. What are some of the basics that you need when you're thinking about your signature system?
So
where do you begin?
This is RV Sina. One thing that I would recommend is really finding out what it is that you're passionate about within your business. What aspect of the business really drives you to where you would want to do it day in, day out, whether you got paid for it or not? And how do you want to help these, you know, your target market? And that deciding factor will help you determine what it is that you want to create your system around. Out of everything that you have available to you, you know, you really need to drill down to find that one true passion and take that forward.
I'm always interested because people say this like it's easy, and I know it's not easy because I coach people all the time. And this process of drilling down, which is very easy to say, what are your tips? How can people really do that?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, let me tell you, when I say it, it does sound easy, but it's not easy by any means. I mean, this came about after years of doing this. You know, just very recently, I'd say within the last year, is when I realized that I just need to focus on the one after doing this for 3-4 years. But one of the key factors was I had my son. My son's going to be 3 later this month. And for the first year, it was, you know, okay, I could still be really active in the business while he was little. But as he grew older, there was more time commitment that I had to give to him, obviously, right? And I just found that I can't do it all. So that was one of my driving factors. The other was I started doing, like, pros and cons. I started talking to my clients, like, where were they seeing majority of their results? What, you know, did they find was easier for them to implement to start seeing that ROI in social media? Because social media does take time. You know, you're building the know, like, and trust factor, so you can't expect immediate sales to come from it. But of all the different avenues that they were putting into place, where did they see the results? And I looked into our business. Out of all of our marketing efforts, just in the social media space, where were we really seeing results coming from? And that ended up being LinkedIn for us. And so I said, okay, if I only had an hour a day to focus on, where would I want to focus my time and energy? And that would be where I'm getting the most results. And so I went through that. And my husband and I are in business together. So we do a lot of whiteboarding, brainstorming. You know, we use tools like Basecamp and even mind mapping tools to really just kind of picture it out. I'm very visual, so I need to see it to really kind of put the pieces together. And by doing all that, we realize that if I'm going to be spending the time training, that I want to do it where I know people can see results immediately. And that's how we did that drilling down. But that drilling down factor did take, you know, about a year of just, okay, you know, fighting that, I don't want to let this go, And I don't want to be known just for one thing, fighting that, and then just really putting all the pieces together and saying, okay, I need to not, that whole mindset work as well, not worry about just, boxing myself in, but this is the entry point of where they're going to come and work with me. And then they can start to look at the other things once they've mastered this one aspect of their business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those are really great tips. And it's so helpful. You bring up a great point that, I'm not sure if you take for granted, but the fact that you get to work with your husband and bounce ideas off of him is just really wonderful. I think that when you're in that brainstorming space, just having somebody that you can talk with and work with, it's one of the pulls to coaching and masterminding groups and so forth. So those are very helpful, kind of eliminating what you are looking at as, you like to do it, but it's not necessarily having the same results, and then just focusing in. Do you find that by setting yourself up as, the go-to gal for your LinkedIn stuff, do people ask you for other things, or do they only relegate you to LinkedIn?
It's so funny that you asked that. I thought all this time that once I started to, just limit myself to LinkedIn, that's all I would get. And I have found that I'm getting even more questions on LinkedIn, but after LinkedIn, they're asking me about their other marketing strategies, not just in the social media space, but also from search engine optimization, SEO standpoint. So they're starting to see me as a marketing consultant, as a go-to marketing, online marketing person versus just LinkedIn. And mm-hmm. that happened once I built my authority just within the LinkedIn space.
Gotcha.
So it's
gotcha.
Been more yeah. helpful than anything.
Yeah, great, great. I think a lot of people are reticent to focus. Yeah. And Andrea, how about you? What do you think are some of the basics that you need for a system?
Well, I think it goes back to the infamous marketing funnel, and that you need to look at your passions and look, like Irvi says, look at what you really do well. And, I think we all do this, is that we don't value what comes easy to us. Because it comes so easily to me, I'm just like, oh, that's easy. You just don't value it as much. So that's where people disregard things, or they throw them out and go, that's just too easy. People won't want that because it comes so easy to me. Everyone can do that. So I think there's a hint in there is that, what comes easy to us is a good point to start. I think that you really need to understand the funnel and understand, we're going to get into free gifts and signature programs, because really signature programs come from are the middle part of your funnel almost, And mm-hmm. so it's all about your ideal client recognizing you. And mm-hmm. they do that through your signature system, through your signature talk. They recognize that you're the person that's going to help them. And something else that what Irvi said, I had this great spin coach once in cycling, a spin coach in the gym. And I would have hired her to do anything else for me. If she'd done nutrition, if she'd done, and it made me laugh because that's not what she did. She was my spin coach, but I just admired her and liked her energy and liked her hard work and her determination, and she was always there on time. And so I would have done anything with her in the sports world mm-hmm. if she'd done anything else because I liked her. And so I think that speaks to that, you pigeonhole yourself in a box, what people think, you pigeonhole, pick one thing, but you get so good at it that then people come to you because they're just so impressed that mm-hmm. they just say, well, you'll be good at everything. And so, mm-hmm. So I think that there's something I think that you might hone in on one thing and feel really limited, but I think when you get through the hourglass of that necking down process, it actually explodes again into all kinds of possibilities because you're an expert. Mm-hmm. And so that's just a thought I came to me when Irvi was talking.
You have such beautiful metaphors, Andrea.
I'm the metaphor queen.
You really are.
Wait till you get in here. I've got things like systems are like recipes.
It's great, especially for those of us who are visual, right, Irvi? I love it.
I know. I love her examples, yes.
So speaking of which, you've already touched on it a little bit, Andrea. Can you give us a little insight into, and we got to think that we're speaking with people in the earlier stages of their business. They're compelled to be in business. They have a passion for what they do, but they may not at all have a marketing background. They may just know, oh, yes, sales and marketing are the two words that go together, but they may not even have any idea what that really is. And the word that's out there on social media, on blog sites all the time is this marketing funnel. Can you debunk this thing for us and help everybody kind of get it?
Well, your marketing funnel typically would start with your free gift, your free compelling offer that in exchange for an email address. And so someone wakes up at 3 a.m. in a sweat about something they're having trouble with, and they find your website and they see your compelling free gift. That's something that's easy to consume, and is in your funnel. They're going to sign up with you. And then everything they see from you is going to be around this passion that you've got. And that's the start of the intake of the funnel. And then at the top of the funnel, people will recognize they're not your ideal client because of your compelling free offer or report or gift you're going to give them. But other people recognize they are your ideal client. So that's the trick with your free gift, that it needs to be compelling and easy to consume, so people can go to work that next morning and start doing some of the things you taught them in your free gift. And that's the start of the funnel. And then you step them up. You offer them a boot camp or a free call, and then you go into a group program, and then they become one-on-one clients. You know, oftentimes we don't become one-on-one clients until we've gone through a few steps, which is the funnel. And so I get led in, and then now I just want to work with Sina one-on-one. I've done her programs. Now I just want to work with you for a year, one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of the funnel. It just leads them down to the next step and the next step. And so you need to think about, like, what are your next steps? And you can do it in very general terms. You don't have to be really specific. But there's a natural progression, too. A free gift, maybe a single seminar, teleseminar, then a group teleseminar series. And then maybe, you know, one-on-one and VIP days. You know, there's a natural progression to your funnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it could be an e-book that you've written. You know, so the funnel can be very flexible depending on what it is you do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the whole idea of the funnel as a metaphor is that, you know, your ideal client throughout their process of the engagement with you is self-selecting each step of the way.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And so you're getting more for each of those steps.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think, one of the kickbacks at this point in time is that people are just overloaded with free offers and free gifts.
Yep.
Do you have anything to say about that?
I think the free gift should be really easy to consume. I'm not going to read an 80-page thing from you if I don't know you. I got something from somebody and downloaded it, and I printed the first 10 pages, and I just didn't like it after the second page. You know, so more isn't always better. And so it doesn't have to be a huge thing, but it has to be something that really gives them confidence in you, that you know them and you've given them some tips. I don't believe in 7-part video series because it's just hard to consume. You're asking someone to sit for 7 hours to watch this great content. They don't even know you. You know, I'm not going to do that. I need a better introduction than that. I need a compelling, really powerful bit of something that makes me want to open the door further. You know, again, if it's an analogy, I want to open the door and see, you know, the Manolos, and then I'll look up, you know. And it's like I want to see a really good piece of something, but it doesn't have to be long or anything like that. And so, you know, more isn't better. And it needs to be, I work with clients, they say, well, I have this report lying around, I'll make that be my free gift. I'm like, oh, you know, really? Like, it can be a checklist. It can be something that's really compelling and part of your funnel. If you don't want people to be surprised by some other offer you make, you go, well, I thought she was the LinkedIn person. And now Irby's sending me stuff about something else, now I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to have, you know, you want it to have, again, in a system, in an order. It's like dating. You know, you want to meet them, you want to get to know them, and you don't want them to change course partway through this introduction, and then you're confused, and then you don't trust them because they've gone off message, and they don't look consistent.
Okay, cool. So that's really it's great advice, and you know it's basically how important is that free offer, do you think?
Sina, this is Irvi.
Yeah.
I definitely think that it, you know, everything that Andrea has mentioned is spot on. Like, everything is perfect. And it's important that you have the free offer because you have to give them something to get to know you first. And, you know, everyone is, there's so much information available now online that you really have to set yourself apart to help people make a decision to want to work with you. And that's what that free gift does. Now, the free gift, I completely agree with Andrea, that you don't want it to be something long that they have to set aside like a day to digest that information to get to know you. It can be like a simple interview. It can be the checklist. It can be a 15-minute call that they get with you, you know, where they get to know you. They're getting acquainted. And that helps them make the decision. And you can tell them what it is that you can do for them in that time frame.
And you think it's critical for online businesses?
Absolutely critical. And it's good to have something on your website where they can sign up for that. Or let's say if you're just completely new, you don't have the website yet, offer a free teleseminar, a free webinar. That's what we did when we first got started. You know, even though we were an online marketing company, we were focusing on our clients and getting our clients going. We didn't have a full-blown website until probably 2 years into our business. So we just had a single page where we offered a free report on, you know, the things that your website needs, you know, like 7 things every website needs to have online marketing success or something. I don't even remember the title at this point, but it was a single page landing page where all people did was give a name and email, and they got sent the report, and that was it. And we were building our list while we were building our business, but that helped them get to know us, and then they would come to us whenever they had their internet marketing, online marketing questions. And then we started doing webinars and teleseminars afterwards, and that helped to build our list as well. And those were free offers that we offered, so for them to get to know us even more.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, how do people figure out what would be compelling? This is another word, a compelling free offer, an irresistible free offer. What, again, you know, what Andrea said, I think, reigns true. I don't know what's compelling about what I have to offer necessarily. What would be compelling to somebody, and how do you figure that out?
So I use it as, what is it that keeps them awake at night? What is a common pain problem that your prospects have? I were, let's say, a health and nutrition coach. I would put a recipe or a tip sheet on like the 5 foods to incorporate into your diet daily, or you know, something along those lines to give them just a little bit of information to help them to start on the journey with you.
Okay. And you think downloadable or something like that is best?
Something that they can download, yes, is definitely helpful. So then they don't have to feel like they have to have that interaction right away with you to digest that information. I mean, yeah, anything that they can download that they can, you know, if they are awake at 3 o'clock at night, they can have that information right then and there to help them ease that anxiety or stress that they may be having so they can get to bed and then call you in the morning.
That's great. I think I hear a kitty cat coming.
Well, you know what? There's a great time for a break. For those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio, and my cat absolutely agrees with you, Irvi. She had a jump up and say it. I just want you to know you're here on the Managing Mompreneur Mayhem Show, and one of our sponsors today is Beth Marshall and Financially Authentic. And I encourage you to visit Beth at financiallyauthentic.com, because when Beth works with clients, she wants to help them learn how to make proactive and powerful financial decisions to support their desired lifestyle,
even if that desired lifestyle requires some temporary adjustments in the beginning to get things under control financially, she's purposefully shifting the financial dynamic that keeps people awake at night because they're spending more than they make or they can't figure out how to tackle their debt. And she's wanting to start a revolution of people who are financially powerful. So, again, visit her at financiallyauthentic.com, or you can go to our Word of Mom website. Go to wordofmomradio.com/MMM and meet all of the mompreneur sponsors of Word of Mom Radio. So we're back here with Sina Block and Managing Mompreneur Mayhem and her fabulous guests today. So back to you, Sina.
Thanks, Dori. So we were talking about your compelling offer, your free offer, and how important it is in your marketing funnel when you are a business online. I just want to shift over to a question because a lot of people are offering consultative businesses or virtual services. Do you think it's as important for businesses that are kind of the brick-and-mortar businesses like the tradespeople and the plumbers and those kinds of people? Is it still important for them on their website to have something?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I would totally agree as well. Because this free report, you brand it, and it acts like a big business card. So if I go into my plumber's website, and they've got top 10 tips to, you know, that you should be maintaining on your washer and dryer every 5 years or something, you know, I'd be curious. Like, wow, I wonder what I'm not doing. And I would click it, and it might have their picture, it would have their phone number, it would have, like, services, it might have some information on this printout. I throw it on my desk, and then I keep seeing it and going, oh, I need to change my hoses. Oh, that's interesting. Well, who is the guy I'm going to call? You know, I'm going to call this person probably because I've seen them. I know that they've given me some good tips, and I've got their big business card on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still a printer. Some people don't print. I'm still a printer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I like the idea of it sits on my desk and I keep seeing it over and over.
Mm-hmm. You like to have the actual item in hand.
Yes.
Yeah, great. So let's start talking about how to systematize this kind of stuff. What are the basic things that, you know, people who are in the earlier stages need to be successful gathering email addresses and giving free offers? What are some of the things that they need to set up?
Well, one of the first things that they'll need is some type of a database system where they can collect the names and the email. And so one of the tools that I like to use with our clients when they're first getting started is MailChimp, because they can use it. It's free for up to 2,000 names. They don't have to pay for anything. And they can create the web form to put onto their website so they can collect the name and email. And then once someone fills that information in, they can set it up to where an email goes out to them automatically, that they will receive that free information. So they'll need to have some type of a database system. And then they need to decide what it is that they're going to be giving as the free gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the free offer? And then based on whether it's videos or a PDF or an audio, you know, they'll need to put that information together.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
I'd like to add a little bit to that.
Great.
Is that I would like to respectfully disagree with Irvi about this, is that MailChimp is not an option. Because if you want to grow your business, if you're serious about your business and you want to grow your business, MailChimp has a 24-hour delay built into it to deliver information. So if you're doing a teleseminar and someone signs up that day, they're actually not able to get that information very reliably. They can get it on a little splash screen that goes by, but they don't get sent a message for 24 hours. So it's not what I recommend, and I recommend that you pay for this service. This service, your list is gold. That your business is your list, and that AWeber is the service of my choice. They have phone support, great service, great system, and, you know, it's what they do. And MailChimp is great and it's free, but it won't grow with you, and you're going to move your list if you're going to do anything where you're going to do teleseminars and stuff like that. So that's my thoughts about your list, building your list.
The 24-hour delay is actually built in. You can't override that?
No, no. And it's not even midnight. It's actually 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
It's not really an autoresponder service. And if you want to use an autoresponder, it's paid for. So if you're going to pay for a service, I would pay for AWeber.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what are we talking into? Because I know there's more than AWeber and MailChimp. What are some of the other ones?
There's Constant Contact, but it has some problems, but they're fixing it now because in AWeber, you can have multiple opt-ins. So say you have you have a different gift maybe on a different page for somebody else, like it, you know, maybe you're building your funnel out and you've got slightly different things. Well, Constant Contact right now can only do one specific dedicated opt-in web form. And they have a service where you can add three more in, and they're upgrading that to be more like AWeber. And Constant Contact has some other great features like events, surveys, you know, different things. AWeber is only an autoresponder service, and so that's what they do the best. And there's also iContact, you know, different services, but I still think AWeber is really the way to go.
And what is the rate usually that you have to pay for AWeber?
It's I think I pay $45 a quarter, so it's like $19 a month, and then you pay over a limit. Like if you're over 2,500 people on your list, you pay a surcharge on top of your fee you pay for number. So all these services have a breakdown of the number of people you have on your list, and then the price increases. But that's never a problem because you're hopefully making tons of money from the people on your list, so you don't mind paying another $10 a month for having more people on your list. AWeber is very economical. I mean, it really is a pretty reasonably priced tool.
Okay, great. And in terms of autoresponders, can we just break that down to what are autoresponders and how do they differ from sending out a newsletter, let's say?
And autoresponders are very underused. Most people don't have a series of messages. So they might have, when someone signs up on your list and they give you their email address, they get set into a system where automatic messages go out. And I actually work with a coach who has a 2-year autoresponder series. So he can just sit back and he sells things in his autoresponder and things like that. So that gets more complicated. But what happens is I get a message from you welcoming me and giving me your free gift. And then maybe a day later, I'm going to get another message from you that says, and this is all automated, oh, I hope you got my gift. If you didn't get it, here's the link again. Because sometimes people miss that first email. And then maybe 2 days later, you'll say, you know, I hope you learned this about my report, you know. And you just start talking to them through email, through this automated series that you put together once, and it works for you for years. And this is all part of my belief in automated marketing from your website. So you do these series of emails. They're not broadcast like a newsletter is a broadcast because you send it out. It's like a, you know, you get your newspaper on the front door every day. You get your email get sent out as a broadcast. But these autoresponders start whenever you sign up. And it's just a controlled drip of information about you, your business, their issues, their problems. And it comes out automatically without you having to intervene at all once they sign up.
Okay, great, great. And that really is helpful because I think autoresponders sometimes for people don't. When I talk with clients, it amazes me sometimes how they don't really have an understanding of that process yet and are certainly not using it so they can get business done or continue to communicate with their people as, you know, as they sleep. So it takes setting it up, right? It takes planning it out and having a strategy and then writing out those autoresponders and then linking them all up through a system like AWeber or MailChimp or Constant Contact or Infusionsoft.
Yep, exactly.
Great. Great. So we start with this free offer. We have to set ourselves up with some kind of service. Andrea is a fan of the paid for service. Irvi's a fan of MailChimp. And if you don't mind about the delay for when you're starting out, it's fine because it's a freebie. And so what are some of the other like back end tools that you need when you're in the startup phase and you're first setting up this free offer? Besides those, is there anything else that we need to help people figure out and find?
Well,
they'll need to decide, you know, based on what it is that they're going to send out. If they're going to do videos, then, you know, they'll either use, let's say, YouTube. Or if you're doing larger videos, like when we do our webinars and we do the replays or the trainings, we use a tool called Easy Video Player, and that helps to send out our videos. They don't have to be on YouTube. We can have an unlimited amount of length. There's not a real delay in the video loading. So it really also depends on what it is that they're going to have. Now, you also want to consider getting, you know, if you're going to get a logo done, so some branding, you can use Fights. I'm not a big fan of Fiverr, but when someone is getting started and if they don't have a huge budget to get a logo done, sure, they can check out Fiverr, but I'd rather use something like Logo Nerds or even 99 Designs, because your branding is going to be also something that you're building as you're building out your business, and you don't want to start off with a cheap brand. So those are some things that they'd want to consider as they're putting this system together as well.
Those are great ideas. And just in case people are confused, Fiverr is spelled F-I-V as in Victor, E-R-R, .com. And people put what they call gigs up there that you can hire them for. And there's all kinds of things that you can buy for $5 now. The gig that you want might take you 8 of those to get done, 8 $5 gigs, or maybe $25 gigs, but there's all kinds of accelerators that they work. The construct is that you can get something done for $5, and so that's Fiverr.com. Logo Nerds, I'm not familiar with them. Is it like a contest like 99 Designs?
No, they actually have where you can like purchase a product, and they have logo design starting at 27, like packages at 27, 47, 90. You can choose based on how you're going to use the logo, and they give you anywhere from 3 to 6 different concepts, and they have unlimited revisions. So I love using them when it comes to creating a new logo for our own products, our own brands. They even do like brochures and flyers, postcards, so all sorts of designing, because I have no graphic expertise whatsoever. I mean, you put me in front of Photoshop and I am like freaking out. So I like to utilize them to get my graphics done, even banners, mm-hmm. and they're very cost effective. I love the fact that you have unlimited revisions as well, because as you're going through the project, you're going to have changes that come up, or you're going to see something new that you want to implement, and you don't have to keep paying for the changes. But mm-hmm. once it's done, it's done. Mm-hmm. But it's been working very well for us, for us and for our clients.
And so when you talk about branding and banners and graphics, so they create banners for your web pages and...
Web pages for, you know, like your landing pages, website, if you want to do, if you're doing like any kind of affiliate promotions. And this is something that you'll probably get into as you go more into your business and you have more offers. But if you want to give people who are going to be promoting your products and services banners that they can stick on their website, or you can include into social media, they can create that as well for you.
Great, great, great. And 99 Designs, you want to give us a little primer on them?
Yep, 99 Designs, we used actually to create our own logo, and this is a few years back. And you put in basically a contest, and there's multiple designers that will submit the designs. And I find that can get very overwhelming. Like when we were creating the PRUZ logo, when we were doing a whole rebranding campaign, we had over 450 submissions. And it was just so difficult to choose which one. And I felt kind of, you know, like, okay, this is just too overwhelming to where it's stopping me in the process, because I'm getting so many different choices. And, yes, you can cancel them out and you can, you know, ask them to make a few changes. But you have, like, 7 days. At that time, there were 7 days. I don't know if they've changed it for the time length of the contest. And within 7 days, I had to decide between 450 designs, which was going to be my brand. And that was, like, it was crazy. I mean, we asked for some help from our friends, from other business associates, like, you know, what do you think, after we shortlisted about, like, 10 of them? But it just, it's great as well, but I just, I find it to be very overwhelming for me. So I like either the three or the six different concepts to choose from with Logo Nerds.
Well, that's good to know. Especially, you know, some people can sift through decisions pretty easily, but some people really, they labor on their decisions when it comes to it. So too much is too much. So that's good advice anyway. So let's see, thinking about the signature program itself, once you've figured out what it is that you want to be known for, your one thing or your passionate, the thing that you're really passionate about, the thing that's really going to be the top offer, or maybe the, not the top offer, but the middle offer of your funnel, really juicy and rich. What do we do next when it comes to a signature program? How do you get your thoughts together? How do you create the framework?
Oh, this is Andrea, and there's a good, you know, a good NLP trick that you take a stack of cards, and a signature system should be like 5 steps, 7 steps. You know, we know people that have 15 or 20 steps, but you know, you want to try to keep it under 10. You know, 5, 7, 9. Those odd numbers are really, you know, powerful. I have one of my clients has 3.5 steps, which I think is sort of intriguing. It's like, what is that half step? You know, it's just kind of like people want to click on it, just going like, oh, it's not really a step. It's more like just a way of being that helps, you know, but it's 3.5 steps. It's kind of cute. And so what you can do is, because it can be very physical, is you stand in one spot and you just say, like, if I meet an ideal client, what's the first thing I would do with them? And then, like, what's the next step that I would do with them? And then what's the next step? So say it's about, you know, your kids and eating. You know, you would do a survey of the family and find out what they eat. Then you'd have a module on something else. And then you'd have a module on grandparents. You know, like, this is what you need to say to grandparents. This is the list. That they, you know, you have sort of steps that you want them to go through, and you just sort of step into each step. And then you go, okay, now we've taken care of that. What's the next thing I would want to do with them in this in the confines of this, you know, 6-step or 7-step signature system? Because remember, this isn't all your business. This is just a way for people to get started with you, or that you can speak about and know to the core of you, and that, you know, so it's not all you do, but it's something that people can really hang on. And so this trick of just standing and then writing that first step, and even having a scribe that writes it for you is good. And then you say, yeah, take a step forward. What's the next step that you would talk to somebody about? And then someone writes that down for you. Then you do the next step. And by the time you've got, you know, 5 or 7 steps, say you've got 12 steps. Maybe there's some you can roll into each other and make it, you know, a slightly different step. But it's because it's kind of physical. Sometimes it's hard to sit, you know, because you get in your head as opposed to sort of making it more of a body thing and physically stepping them through a system.
Okay.
So that's one trick.
That's so great. And, you know, I hear this all the time, that the odd numbers work. Any trivia on why? Does anybody know why they work?
Well, it's like flowers or anything. I guess it must be that, yeah, it's the way your psychology is something.
It's so funny, but it's true. You see all the time blog posts, 7 steps or 5 steps or 3 reasons, or you don't see 2, 4, and 6 ever.
Right. Yeah, 6 reasons,
you know,
why you should do this.
It's funny. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Irby?
No, I think Andrea said it perfectly. You know, you're taking people through the process regardless of what it is. You need to help them move along the process, and that's what your system will do for them. So it's perfect.
Great. So once you figure out your process and you have a signature system or so forth, what do you do next? Now, I'm going to back up. When you begin with your free offer, what does your free offer have to do with your signature program? How do they relate?
Well, you'll want to ensure that what the free offer is helps them get to know you in what you offer, and that's going to be your signature system. So I wouldn't give someone a free recipe when I'm going to be take them into training them on LinkedIn, right? Mm-hmm. I would give them something related to, you know, social media in general, or even then more specific into, you know, three things every LinkedIn profile should have. And it can be a simple report. It could be like a simple, like, tip sheet, cheat sheet that they're going to download. And then they'll know that, you know, we're going to be moving along learning about LinkedIn or, you know, social media in the process. So it has to relate to help them take those steps through with you.
Okay. Okay. So it must relate, and then the signature system comes, and you sit down and you figure that out. And then now once you have their email address, how much of that do you kind of give out or give away?
Well, you want to give – go ahead, Andrea.
No, you go. You go.
you want to give them enough to where they're learning the what and the why, but you don't give them the how. The how is what comes through within your system. So you give them enough knowledge to know that they need to then do further learning, whether it's services, consulting, training with you, and that's where they're going to learn how to implement it.
Okay.
That's one of the strategies that we use.
Mm-hmm. And so when you do your free webinar,
mm-hmm.
Or you'll do a webinar on LinkedIn, can you just give us an example to bring that to light?
Exactly. So when I do the free webinar on LinkedIn, I do, you know, it's how businesses can use LinkedIn to leverage more business and get leads. So I will give them, like, what it is that they need to do on LinkedIn. Like, what are, you know, three like, best tips, three mistakes that I see people making. I point out some of the different features, some of the tools within there that they can use. So if someone went and implemented after the webinar, they would start to see results. But if they want to take their learning to the next step and go more in depth into the how to do some of the stuff that I showed, then they can go ahead and join the training program. And that's where they'll work with me, they'll go through, and they'll learn all the hows of everything that I showed in the free webinar. But the free webinar will give them tips that they can start to implement to start seeing some changes. So they're going to get, you know, a benefit of spending that 60 minutes on a webinar with me. And then if they want to take it to another level, then they can join the training program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's kind of just like that first tier, the what, the why, but not the how.
All right.
Okay, great. Andrew, you have anything more to add there?
Yeah, I had a couple thoughts of that. is that, you know, there's just a ton of information out there. A lot of the times, all this stuff is just information. I can go to the library and get a book on LinkedIn or Facebook and turn through it and try to figure out, like, what it pertains to me. And maybe I do all the steps, and I really only needed to do two of them. Or, you know, and so that's, you know, I believe, and it's hard for me to let go. It's one of my mindset things, is that information is easy to come by, but it's not easy to work with somebody closely that knows your business and speed up the process, I think is what I'm trying to say. You know, like, if I work with Irby, she's just going to get me there faster, and I'm going to do the parts that only I need. That all the information is there already, but Irby's integrated in a way that works for her, that she found is really effective, and so that's why we want to work with people and do these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it speeds up the journey, and we're able to ask questions. You know, there's just all kinds of advantages, you know, even in a group setting in a signature program to work with somebody. You know, I saw something recently about, you know, just about everything has a coach, and somehow in business we resist them because we think we can do it alone, and we really can. The web has made a lot of things really accessible, but it takes a long time. You find you did all this effort and it says you didn't need to do it, you know, all kinds of things. You know, so I wouldn't send my kids to a swimming thing without a swim instructor, you know. And so it's just, you know, there is that conundrum of business. The web has made it easy and it's accessible. But, you know, you want your journey shortcut. You know, you want to get there faster, and you do that through working with people on their signature systems.
Let's talk a little bit about once you have your system set up. And so where are some of the places that your system can, where you can use your system for marketing purposes, for instance? Like, how can you incorporate this now?
This is Andrew. I have clients that have a signature system that they've done live. So they did a group call with people, like 10 calls. And they now sell it as a product because all the recordings and handouts are there. And she also uses it as a basis for her certification program. So you can do a higher level program with her, but you use this content she did in her signature system as the teaching part of her program. Because she doesn't want to get on the call and have to teach for an hour. She wants you to go do the teaching on your own, the learning on your own, and then come to the call equipped with questions and work to be done. And so you can use your signature system once it's done in all kinds of formats, live, recorded, as part of another program, as a free gift you give away. You can go in a raffle and raffle it off. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do with your signature program.
Yeah, great. I know I certainly use those and incorporate them into my my private coaching packages now, you know, my time management program and system and my planning systems. I definitely roll them all in. But I'm curious about, like, do people market them in any way? Like, what are some of your tips about how do you market yourself with your signature system?
So in marketing the system, you want to create content around what the system is going to be about. So you could do blog posts, and let's say you're going to deliver the system in a teleseminar webinar series, and you're going to get them onto a free call in order for them to get some of the information, and then you can make an offer at the end to have them join your system. Well, you can create blog posts, you can create, you know, articles, videos, press releases, content related to what it is that the system is about, and you want to put it out, you know, onto your blog, onto article marketing sites. You can put it onto social media to build up some buzz through social media. Like if you have a Facebook page, you can create posts around, you know, the call that you're going to be offering so people can then sign up. You know, in marketing, you want to put it out all over the online space. You can run Facebook ads. You can do Google ads to really start to build exposure and get people to sign up to come on to that free call. Now, that's if you're doing it in an online space. We have one of our clients is a sprinkler repair and installation company. So he has a brick-and-mortar business. He is limited in the geographical boundaries that he can do business in. So what he did was he did a video series on how to winterize your sprinkler system. So if someone wanted to do it on their own, he's giving them the information on how to go about doing it. And in these videos, he's telling them, you know, what to do, what to look for. But if they need any help, they can always contact the office. Well, he found that helped to build the trust factor with people who had not done business with their company before. And they just decided it was too much work to do it themselves, and instead they took him up on having them come in and do the winterization. And so he was able to build clients. So it's not necessarily, you know, a full-blown system, but what he did was when he made the offer, he did the offer to do the winterization and then to come back in the spring to do the turn-on service. So instead of having to market to them twice for the two different products, he got them into a packaged deal, which was his version of a system, to come in and do the closing out and then the turning back on.
That's,
so it's not just limited to the
great
online space.
Yeah, that's a great example. And I would love if you, Andrea, if you have some examples also to share about signature systems and how they work. I think the examples really work for people to really dig their teeth into.
I'm not sure what to add to that. At this point,
I'm just curious if there's other like online examples, because I know you've implemented a million of these with different people and different clients.
Well, I think that one of your questions earlier was like, once you've done the steps of your signature system, you then have to figure out what is your ideal delivery system of that. And everybody gave a great example of the video, and I think that's awesome. And I think it's awesome, too. I mean, and then I would go another step further and have him give them a deal for them signing up for like, the next year and the next year. You know, like, I think that's a great thing. Because, you know, then you have to think about how you're going to deliver your content. Is it going to be one big video? Is it going to be a series of videos? Is it going to be audio? Is it going to be a handout? Are you going to give them all the material at once? Are your clients the one, you know, like yours, Sina, that want it dripped out because it's too overwhelming, but you'll have other clients that want it all at once? So you have to also know your clients and know, like, how often do they want it delivered? You know, is 2 weeks too slow? Is once a week too fast? You want to have a follow-up built into your program of autoresponder messages, so when they buy the program, they're reminded of things and they're sort of taught things that come right into their email to remind them that they need to go do this work of this program that they bought or that classes they're missing or whatever. So there's a lot more to, once you've got the steps, you have to decide how you're going to deliver it and how your clients want to consume it. You know, so there's just like, you know, if people are not in their cars or not out walking, you know, video is harder to do. You know, maybe you have a series of audios that people take out when they go on their long walk. Or, you know, you just have to look at your clients and see, in the technical world, like for Irvi, she would want to do maybe some videos, like screen capture videos. So, you know, I'm a believer, if I can see it being done, I can do it. And so what I do when I get those kind of videos is I have it on my laptop and I have my other big computer and I actually watch the video and I do it at the same time. And so, you know, when someone gives you that kind of material, it's like, this is awesome. I just, you know, and so they understand me. You know, they understand that I can do it that way. So you need to know how to deliver your signature system in a way that people finish it and then want to move on with more things with you. You know, someone who only does part of it isn't as keen to, like, hey, I want to work with you more. Do you have a year-long program? You know, because they didn't do the first part of the work. So you want to make it easy for them to do the work in a manner that works for them. You know, so that's another art of the signature system, is it's not just the information, but it's how you deliver the information for that client.
Right, and I guess I'm also, I think we're talking about the same thing, but I think there's different approaches too. Sometimes people can get a taste of your signature system from your free offer, and then you can offer some other opportunities. But for the most part, once people get into the signature system, they're basically at the point of paying you for something, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Do you agree, Irvi, or do you think this should be stuff that you just give away and hope for them to hire you for the bigger piece?
I think you can give away tips. I wouldn't give away parts of the system. Like, if I had, you know, videos within the system, I wouldn't give away a completely, you know, one of the videos for free. I would do more of the intro type. But you can easily take elements out of the system to create the blog post, to create the video tips, you know, to put out into the space to get people to become more aware of you and to help build your visibility online and your brand online, and get them to come into your funnel. Now, something to keep in mind also is, as you're delivering the system, see what are some challenges that may be coming up, some, you know, common questions. Is there a theme that people are seeing? You know, are you seeing a theme of the challenges that people have? Because that can help to determine what you're going to offer to them next to help them, you know, go along. Especially when you're new, you're just getting started, you may not have it all already mapped out and planned out of, okay, once they go through this, then they're going to come in and do one-on-one coaching with me. You may not be ready for that, or you may not know that that's what they need, but listen into what's the feedback that you're getting, so then you can craft your next system, your next offer, based on what it is that they need. And a perfect example, and this is something that I actually just recently saw, was that as people were going through the LinkedIn training, you know, I was giving them step-by-step exactly what they needed to do. People were implementing, and then I had a few folks that I didn't really see, you know, really going through, and I said, hey, you know, have you been watching? Have you been implementing? And they just needed some more hand-holding through the process. So one of the things that I started to offer was, you know, do you need some hand-holding? Let's do some one-on-one consulting, and we'll actually work on it together and get you to the next level. Even though they had everything within the system, they just still needed a little bit more attention, accountability to get them to get to the next step.
Yeah, that's awesome. And how did you get that feedback from people?
I asked. Okay. I asked if I wasn't getting any feedback from them, if I wasn't seeing the changes being implemented, then I would just send a quick note, you know, hey, how's it going? Just checking in. Have you been implementing? Is there anything that's been coming up for you? Would you like to see something else? And just, you know, survey your group. They'll tell you what they want, what they need.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you find that people are engaging with you when you do sending out emails? Do your clients actually email you back, or I just feel like there's so much noise out in the world, and then people get so much into their inboxes on a daily basis, and, you know, it's almost a full-time job just to clean out and file the stuff you have to keep, you know. Do you feel that people really are paying attention in that space?
So,
I guess
yes
the question
and no.
is, yeah, I guess the question is, what are some tips that you have to you know, stand out?
So one thing that we've done with our clients is that we tell them in that initial email that they'll get with kind of how the coursework is designed, you know, how the system's going to be delivered, I'll also let them know, like, how often can they expect to, you know, receive an email, what can they do if they need help. So I give them the guidelines to where they know to look for that email. I also will let them know that I will be, you know, giving homework assignments, and I'll be checking in on them to see, you know, how are they doing. And even before, there's many times that even before I can get an email out, if I haven't seen anything, I'll get responses back. So the emails that I have set up in the autoresponder to deliver the system will also ask them questions to where it's getting them to respond back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say, like, email overwhelm, trust me, I completely understand that because I was in that. I was on many people's lists getting lots of email, and instead of getting work done, at times I was seeing, you know, all the different newsletters, all the different offers, kind of, you know, just staying in touch with what people are offering in my industry. And I found that I was doing market research, yes. I wasn't being effective. So I started using a tool, and if you use Gmail or I believe even Yahoo or Hotmail, it's a free tool. It's called unroll.me, so UNROLL.ME. And what they do is they go into your inbox and they search all the subscriptions, and you can decide whether you want to unsubscribe or if you want to roll it up. And if you choose to roll it up, you actually get one daily digest of all those emails. And it's like little snapshots of the emails. So I can see really quickly what I want to click on to actually see the full email. And I found that that has started to really alleviate my pain from going from having over 100-plus unread emails every morning to maybe 10. And those are the key emails that I want to see. And so I also offer tools. Like if I come across any tools that help me in my business, I let my peeps know what those tools are so they can start to implement those tools as well if they're facing those same challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten nothing but positive feedback from people starting to use unroll.me because it's so easy to become, you know, to become an email overwhelm, right? Doing the market research. And I think you can start to doubt yourself sometimes too when you're doing the market research, like, oh no, should I be doing that? What do I need to do to stay in touch with what this person is doing? And you cut all the crap mm-hmm. and you really start to focus and grow. And so share tools that are helping you in your business with your people, because they are going to have those similar challenges that you're facing as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I think I would love to check out Unroll.me, but it only works with Google and, you said, Hotmail?
Yeah, I think just Google, Hotmail, and Yahoo. I don't know if they'll work if you have a company email. I haven't seen it to where it works with that. But if you have, like, your email forward to, like, a Gmail and you manage everything through a Gmail account, it will still pick it up through that, because that's how I have it set up.
Mm-hmm. Great. That's a great productivity tip, too. So, great. When we're talking about signature systems, how can you have more than one?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrea.
You can have more than one. Typically on your homepage, you know, where people are coming to see if you're the right person to sign up, you wouldn't have the list of all the things you do. All your related things would still be in the same funnel. But then instead of, you know, if you view your funnel as levels, you know, in one level you might have three different things. Like you might have a group coaching, how to be a group coach, and you might have another one about, you know, something else in that same area of group coaching. So you might have one about how to be a group coach. One might be developing your group coaching program. So you could have, you know, still signatures within your funnel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So say you're a group coach specialist, you could still do things in that funnel that could be signature systems that maybe they, and then if they work with you for a year, you get all three signature systems, you know, or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you can, I've got clients that have, you know, two or three or four sort of specific products that work within
mm-hmm.
their funnel niche. But she doesn't lead with all three. You know, she
mm-hmm.
really is only leading with one.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest just sort of come in. But there's still systems that sell by themselves, you know, inner sleep, they're automated. And so, you know, yeah, you can have more than one, but you don't want to muddy the water by leading with all of them.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I have different systems I follow for different client types. You know, some of my clients are just transitioning out of being at home as a mom. Some of my clients are far into their businesses and just, you know, bordering on burnout, so they need a lot more specifics on time and systematizing and delegating and so forth. So I do have different systems for my different clients. But I don't give anything. I give something different away that's free. So I got to go back and check mine out. When we were talking about the programs that people put together for themselves, let's talk a little bit about, as people engage in the program, and Irvi, you've talked about your videos and your online, whatever you're calling it, the boot camp or the tools. How important are the different layers of learning for different people? Like, is it important to have the video audio transcripts of a module that you've designed, checklists, autoresponders? Do you need to have all that stuff?
I think it's beneficial. It's more value added if you can include that. But I wouldn't use that as a hindering point that I have to have all of this together before I can launch my signature system. You know, I do the videos and I do the slides, and I don't just offer the audio, and I haven't had anyone come to me and tell me that, you know, do you offer audio or do you do the transcripts of the calls? And that has worked for me. But I also know people who do trainings, and they'll do it all. So I think it really just depends on how much time you have, what it is that you want to offer. And if you know that your audience learns in a specific way, or if they learn in all the different ways, then sure, then it's always more value added to offer the different ways that they can consume the content. But if that's going to be a blocking point or a hindering point for getting you to get your system off the ground, then just go with one and get it launched. You can always improve upon it. You can always add it after the fact if you don't have it done at that time. But don't let that be a stopping point.
Okay, got it, got it. Yeah. Andrea, how about you? Do you have anything to add about the different types of stuff you have available within your program?
Yeah, I think it depends, you know, on your own style, because remember, sometimes your own style is what your own clients will have. And so, you know, I've got I work with a coach. She likes to have these little shorter videos, and it's actually fun because I can go, oh, I can watch this for 5 minutes and finish it, and then go on to the next, and I can fit it in between kids and things. You know, it's hard to watch an hour. So, you know, you appreciate those things. And, you know, things like transcripts can be expensive to produce, and so and no one might buy it. Or, you know, so I certainly wouldn't jump in and have all those things ready to go at first. I just think then it gets scary and expensive, and, you know, lots of people don't offer transcripts. And so, you know, I see those as sort of an extra gravy thing. And, you know, it's good, like, when you start selling, then you add that in as a bonus. But I wouldn't, you know, do that up front. I've been in classes where the teacher, the instructor will even say, like, do people want the transcripts? And some, you know, there's ones, oh, yeah, one person goes, oh, I really like transcripts, and the rest of us, and he's like, well, you know, maybe not. might not do it for just one, you know. So, because it is expensive. It's sort of one of those time-consuming things. It's still fairly manual. There's, you know, I guess they're going to get there where you can play your recording into something and it fits out your, you know, your written word. But, yeah, I just think you do what you're comfortable producing. You know, video's not your, if you don't want to be a talking head in your video, there's this whole thing now about sales letters being these black and white videos that people read the slides at you. I mean, that seems to be the thing, you know, they're all doing it. And, so you don't have to be a talking head. You don't have to be on the video to still have video. And so, you know, there's no one-size-fits-all. You do what works for your clients and what works for you. And hopefully they jive. I mean, if your ideal client wants video and you don't want to do talking head videos, then you've got to figure out a way to give them video that's instructional or educational in a way you're comfortable with, right? So sometimes you do have to go outside your, you know, your comfort zone if that's what they need. But, yeah, you just got to, you know, figure out what it is they want and what they value. And, I mean, that's a whole trick. Like, even in science, we had these things where, you know, the company would let us give away 10 things in a problem. You know, and so the thing was to figure out, well, what was the one thing the client wanted? Like, because I could give him 9 things and he still wants that 10 thing I didn't give him. Right, and so part of it is finding out what your people want, and cut down your efforts and give them that one thing they want. And so, you know, that comes with time. And like Irvi says, ask questions. You know, what would make this even more spectacular for you? And then see if you can offer that. And it might be something super simple. You just go, hey, I heard from you guys, and I've done this, and they think you're a hero.
That's great. I think that, you know, there's so much. And when you get to a point where someone is actually purchasing a product from you, you know, I think about my Awake Manage Your Time to Love Your Life course. I know that the different people have used different portions of that. Some people will download the webinar and they want the slides, and maybe they want the slides separate. You know, they want the picture of the slides so that they can take notes on them. And some people want a transcript, and some people just want to have an audio file to listen to. So I do think that it's important when people are getting to this layer of implementation that it's totally fine to start somewhere and to start small, but you can always build upon your offer. And I know, especially for a lot of people that are attracted to me, they tend to have the need to do it right, the want to do it right. And sometimes when you're in this launch phase, that desire, you need to kind of let that go. Because when you're starting something new, you got to be able to learn, you know, and the saying goes, launch and learn, right? Launch and learn, because you'll get feedback from people that will help you. But if you fail to launch and you are afraid to launch because you can't get everything right, all your I's dotted and your T's crossed, then you probably are going to miss out on the feedback that would make your thing that much better. But, you know, launch and learn, that's what I say.
No, that's so true, Sina, and it's so funny where you bring up that whole perfection aspect, and I think that's where a lot of us don't get out there fast enough, is we feel that we have to have it perfect the first time around, when it goes out the first time, and really mm-hmm. what's perfect for you may not be what's perfect for your clients. You know, they may not need all 10 tips right at one time. They may just mm-hmm. need to digest a little bit at a time, and you won't know until you start getting it out. And
yeah.
that's one of the biggest things that I think, you know, people have to break through, is that whole perfection.
Yeah, I'm the first in line.
Yeah.
Funny, it just brings back a funny story. You know, my sister, you said you were overwhelmed by all the designs that you got when you went for 99 designs. I mean, that is a lot. 400 plus is ridiculous. But my sister is one of the people who really likes to minimize her options because it's just overwhelmed. She hits overwhelm really quickly. Of course, I'm the goddess of abundance. So one time when she was at my house, I went to my refrigerator and I opened my refrigerator and I said, okay, she was thirsty. So I said, we have water, we have milk, we have orange juice, we have cider, we have wine, we have all these things. And she's just kind of staring at me like blinking her eyes going, can I just have water? There's just too many things to choose from. And, you know, I think so many of us try to over-deliver, but it is confusing.
Oh, my goodness, that's hilarious.
Yeah, she just blinks at me. How about just water? So I have a big question about launching. Because I know launching is something that people – this was a big lesson for me when I first started, because my first program that I tried to run, I think I got one person in it, and I missed the whole part of the plan that not only do you have to have a signature system or something that uniquely identifies you, but you have to consider that launching is a part of the process. So
yeah.
Andrea, I know you need to go soon,
yeah.
So would you like to talk a little bit about really key important things to launch, and then Irvi and I can wrap that up?
Yeah, absolutely. Something that came up earlier that Irvi was talking about, too, is how do you get your great, you know, blog posts, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn updates. It all becomes part of a marketing plan. And so if you're going to launch something, you need to put it on your calendar and then work backwards. And think about, for instance, Irby's comment about blog posts. Think about what blog post do you want to have out that's going to set the stage for this launch. Think about the quotes that I want to put out there on Facebook, you know, the pretty quotes and things like that. Like, think about and have a plan. Because, you know, nothing infuriates more than a client today emailed me. She goes, can you shoot this free call I've got in today's newsletter that the article is not even related to it? And it's just sort of too bad that these things we think we can just sort of wing it because we can put out a newsletter today, but that there's really a plan and like a storyboard, just like for a sitcom. Like, what do I want to weave in, and where's that launch, and what do I want to be talking about coming up to that makes this launch be the logical thing to be launching. And so, you know, again, it's having that plan, which is extremely hard to do. And hard to do on your own. And again, that's where coaches and consultants can help you. But the launch comes from a plan. And
how much lead time do you think people need to build in, generally?
Well, I think, you know, people talk about the 4-month launch. You know, you can have, depends how big it is and the price point and how involved it is and how long it is. And things like that, and how new you are to it. You know, like someone like Maria Forleo can just launch something, you know, and people know it's coming. You know, they know that she's got something coming, so they're sort of prepped for it. It depends on, you know, the size of your list and how many people you need in it. You do that percentage math, and you know, but you need to be planning earlier than you think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, four months is what you recommend.
Well, again, it just depends. If you're just thinking, you know, I've got a little 4-week course I'm going to do, and I'm going to throw a preview call out. You know, that doesn't need as much work as if you want to launch a year long mastermind or, you know, I just pulled that out of the air. But you know, it depends on that, you know, and what you've been talking to them on, what they've been buying ahead of that. You know, people are buying from you constantly, and then that process can be shorter, because they already know you're going to have something else coming and they're more apt to buy it. You know, there's a lot of considerations about your
launch.
But you can also have too long a launch, and it sort of left hanging. And because a lot of people on shorter courses, I often sign up on the day of the program starts, because then I go, oh, I didn't know a month ago if I'd have time, but, oh, I have time right now to join the call, so I'm going to buy it right now. I mean, that happens all the time. With smaller amounts of money, like $197, $297. You know, a lot of people even get sign-ups after the first class.
Yeah, I was so shocked about that when I first started to launch. I was really shocked about how you can be in somebody's inbox 6 times or so prior and, you know, the offer, and then the day of, and even the day after, and even the week after, they're signing up at full price. It just surprised me so much, but it's a relatively hearty percentage.
Yep. I like it because I know that if I sign up, I've got something to do. I can get right in it because there's a call waiting for me. I don't have to wait a month or a week. And that's I think, my psychology around why I sign up in the moment.
Well, you know what, Andrew, but I think it's really typical and true of us mompreneurs. We really, as much as we plan and as much as we are available, we really don't always have control over our schedule because we have those little people around us that we have as priorities in our lives. And so, you know, you're always trying to gauge and navigate around the what if, and, you know, sometimes you just don't know.
Well, Matt, I'll leave you on this point. That is why when you sign up for someone's offering a course, but they don't know when it's going to be offered yet. Like, I haven't set the time yet. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, that's crucial. You know, if it's, I got 3 kids in elementary school, if it's full pickup, I can't do it because then I miss every call, and it irritates me as a mom who's juggling schedules if you can't tell me when it is.
Right, exactly. Which is why my friend Andrea Cinnamon from WomenRockTheInternet.com is going to need to leave our phone call at this point. And Andrea, do you have any parting words for people who are in this process of their signature program or anything that you want to extend here?
Well, I congratulate you for, you know, taking your passion and building a business. I think there's so many great ideas out there that don't come to light because some of these steps seem too hard. And so, you know, you can get my report, my 5 Simple Steps to Rock the Internet at WomenRockTheInternet.com. And I'm just so thankful for being here and meeting Irvi and just having a great time with you guys.
Thank you, Andrea, so much. And we will, obviously, when this airs, it is always downloadable, so you can drive anyone who would like to know about this back to Word of Mom Radio, and it's always going to be downloadable. That's a great thing about Blog Talk Radio, right, Dory?
Absolutely.
Meow.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Cinnamon. Andrea. My cat just jumped up again on my lap. I'm sorry.
All right.
She's really enjoying this conversation. I've had it on speaker. She's loving it. Andrea, thanks so much. It was great information.
You're welcome.
I have like pages of notes here.
Cool. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Andrea.
Bye. So, Irvi, we're going to go back to you, and I would like to know about, let's talk a little bit about launching and any wisdom that you have in terms of what makes a good launch and how to plan around it and plan for it.
Sure. So I definitely agree that you do need some lead time in regards to launching your program, and especially when you're launching it for the first time, you know, if you're extremely new to it. You want to map out what it is that you're going to be giving away to help build the buzz, you know, what content you're going to be putting out to get people to sign up to learn about it when you do actually have that launch date. So you want to make sure that you do have the date decided because, as Andrea pointed out, if there's no date decided of when it's going to be, it's very difficult to plan around it. And how can you expect people to sign up for a program when they don't know it's going, you know, when it's going to be delivered? So definitely have a date in mind, have a hard deadline of when you're going to launch the program, and then from there, you know, as she mentioned, go backwards and plan it out. Now, I will tell you that one of the things that I did when I first started, and this is probably not the best way that I did it, but I know since there's going to be, you know, there's more newer mompreneurs on here and they may be launching their first product, you know, or program, I want to give them exactly what I did. And I didn't do the perfect launch series. I didn't really know well in advance, like, you know, how much marketing I had to do to get people in. You know, we had a small list, and I know, like, people needed to learn more about social media, and I thought, okay, well, I want to teach them how they can do this for themselves. Sorry about that. And
you okay?
But I'm so, I think you know, after having to get, you know, a three-year-old ready for daycare and having to go through that process and then talking, my voice is starting to go now.
Oh, sorry, Irby.
No. But so when I first launched, I was really afraid that nobody would sign up. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put all this time and energy into creating this awesome program, but what if I don't get anybody to sign up? I'm going to feel really bad. And then I would start to go into self-doubt and this and that. And I thought, okay, well, let's just see if people really want to buy this before I develop it. So I had the whole outline put into place of what I was going to do for the training, what the different modules were going to cover, what the sites were going to be that we would do at that time. So I had the whole start date. I had the modules laid out, and I had all the content that I was going to put in and done, but I hadn't created the videos yet. I was going to do it live. And so I said, okay, well, let's do a webinar. I did a webinar with a joint venture partner because we had a small list, so I didn't have a lot of people at that time. And I did it with a joint venture partner. I did the free intro type webinar, where I gave them some tips and strategies that they could implement, and then I made them the offer to join the training program, which was going to be my signature system at the time. And I got sales, and I was so excited. And I thought, oh, this is perfect. I know I'm doing exactly what it is that I need to be doing, what I want to be doing. And I had that confirmation. And then I started to, you know, then I had gave them the dates, delivered the training, and I created the entire product and then sold it afterwards as a recorded product so people could get access to it right away. They didn't have to wait, you know, for the weekly calls. They didn't have to set aside a specific time. They had all the recordings that they could do at their pace, and that's how I launched my very first training system.
Mm.
So not the best way to do a launch, but it worked. But I, you know, I didn't just rely on my list. I also had a joint venture partner who then promoted it as well, and we were able to get a decent amount of sales for the first go-round. But then I had it all done to then launch the recordings in a bigger way. So then we set up the schedule, we did all the initial pre-promotion, building the buzz, and then had a date that we launched where people could sign up and then get all of the trainings at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and you delivered all your training in one bucket?
I used to. And then I, you know, surveyed my list, and that was overwhelming. So now I do it weekly. They get a module a week with a homework assignment at the end, as well as a preview of what's going to be coming up in the next module, so they can plan accordingly as well.
Great. And how are you administering all of this?
I do all the videos. So I use Easy Video Player to have all my videos be uploaded there. It's connected to my Amazon S3 account, so all the videos are hosted within my own Amazon S3 account, and then Easy Video Player is the tool that I use to play the videos out, the delivery of the videos. And then I also give them the slides with each of the videos so they can print it out if they want to take notes on it, follow along accordingly. They have that option as well.
And so Easy Video Player is, and then, I'm sorry, everything, you just give them links to it, or do you have, like, a system behind it?
Like a. So I right now the way it's done is I'm giving them links to it in an email that goes out to them, but we're redoing that because I'm going to be relaunching the program in a couple of months here, and I want it all to be like within one membership site platform where a new module is released each week to them. So it's still in that weekly fashion, but they just have one login and they don't have to go through emails to remember where the link was or, you know, hey, I lost the email. Can you resend it to me? Type. We don't have to worry about that. They just have the login. And
okay,
so even
great.
After being in business for this many years, you know, it's a growing process. So it's not perfect the first time around, but you get the feedback and you implement, you do more changes, you implement, you know, you get more feedback again. And so you perfect it along the way as well.
That's great. Now, with the membership site, is there anything that you recommend for people to check out if they're in the business of looking for that?
Definitely. There's a couple of tools we are checking out right now. One is Jigsaw Box, and they were great with
delivering
content.
I can help you with
that. And then another
I'm
one is Wishlist. You're using Jigsaw?
Yeah, I'm using
That's
Jigsaw
awesome.
For a couple of my programs, yeah.
And it's great because they allow you to pretty much like turn on a program for a client, right? So if a client comes in and they've bought one and they've bought another, you don't have to have them create another login and password. You can just pretty much put
just
that
add
program
it to
into them.
Yeah, add it to them. I I use it really effectively with my private clients. So people who sign up with me for private coaching not only get calls, live calls, but I have several business building modules that I've built for them. And so they get them and they roll out. You know, they have to go into it and do the work. It doesn't happen if you don't do the work. But Jigsaw works really well in that format. And I also am using it to distribute, you know, some of my other programs that what I would call them, you know, off-the-shelf stuff. Now, they were live events, just like we had talked about before. Planapalooza, something I do annually, but my Awake Manager Time to Love Your Life, that's something that's in there. It's a time management 6-week course, and, you know, people can get it as it goes. And I also have 52 Weeks to Confidence, so that's like a weekly program as well. The one
that's
thing with
awesome.
Jigsaw... Yeah, it's great. The one thing is, though, it doesn't really have an autoresponder component, so you have to build that into a separate system. So, you know, to remind people, hey, you guys, come on back. You know, the stuff's in here. Because, you know, people get busy.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And,
so
and
that's
as
cool.
Mompreneurs, we have so many different hats we're juggling, right? So we have to, we need those reminders to stay in touch.
Yeah. And you said that you're checking out Wishlist Member?
Wishlist Member is a tool that we're checking out as well. So we're kind of doing like a pros and cons analysis on the different tools out there. And we'll decide with one and then go full force at that point.
Great. So. Well, yeah, there's a lot of different pros and cons to all of them. I'm building out my Mastermind Academy and Infusionsoft in their customer hub, but it was a big decision to move into that.
Yeah, we also use Infusionsoft, and so I've looked into customer hub, and I'm just looking for I can't decide if I want the monthly payment that I'm going to be doing, or do I just want the one payment one time with Wishlist. But they're each of them offer different benefits, and so it's just. It's crazy to put it all together, and that's where I use my hubby because he's my online marketing genius, especially in the tools. He's a computer engineer with his previous life, as he puts it. So I let him make some of these decisions. We'll talk it through. I'll let him know, like, what are features that I want, and then he goes ahead and he's like, okay, well, this is what we need for this. This is what we need for that. And then we make the decision. So, and I completely forgot about Customer Hub until you told me, see? It's another one that we are looking at as well because we're in Infusionsoft and we figured it's all one happy place to manage everything. But, you know, sometimes that's not always the best solution. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, this whole conversation is, I think about it in stages of three. Of course, I'm an instructional designer by trade, so of course I always think about things in models. And so I think about it as the build stage in your signature system. You have a build, which is you got to dig into your head, figure out where your expertise is, map it to your passion, figure out where the people who need you are resonating and where how you can speak to them and how you can solve their pains. That's all in the build phase. And then you build out your program so that you have a very step-by-step process for people to follow. We love odd numbers. We think about 7 and 9 are really sweet ones. 5 to 7 is probably the best. Then you build it. And then there's the launch it stage, right? So that stage has to do with all of these back-end systems, figuring out how to market it, putting your social media campaign together, predating your launch so that you get enough numbers, enough people at least in the arena so that you can find those people who are willing to work with you or purchase it. And then there's the maintenance stage, right? So the maintenance or the whole how do you deal with clients and how do you get feedback and so forth. So when you're working through this process, I think that those are the three stages that make the most sense.
Oh, definitely, I agree. And, you know, with the pre-dating and the planning it out, it also gives you an idea of can you realistically deliver it by that time when you have all these steps that need to happen first to really build the awareness and build the list ready to make that buying decision with you. And I have found that, you know, that has worked for our clients is they want this program to go out. They want to offer this service. But they want it all done in like a month, and that's not going to happen. You know, you have to see all the steps that are involved to get to that point. It's not poof, you know, magic fingers or what is it? It's not like a magic spell that you can just go abracadabra and it's all set up and ready to go. It really helps to bring the awareness of all the steps that are in place.
Yeah, and I work with my private clients a lot to debunk a lot of myths that have been out there, you know, that it's so easy and I'm, you know, I have a six-figure business overnight, you know, all this stuff that people see out in the world of the internet that it kind of just creates this crazy shame cycle for people that they're afraid to do anything because if they don't want, just like you said, I just was afraid that if I launched nobody was going to sign up. How many of us feel that way?
Yeah,
you know, how many people feel that way?
It's such an honest feeling, but I think it's hard to bring it to the surface sometimes. But when you bring it to the surface and you realize that that is what the ultimate fear is, the way to solve that is, okay, let's sell it before we produce it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have you've got yourself on the line. People have paid you money. You don't want to have to go back to them and say, hey, well, it's not done. You're going to deliver it. And so you are getting paid to do what you love to do, doing it that way as well. So I think when you're first getting started, if that is a fear, try it out that way. Sell it. Have the whole program in mind, what you're going to do, what you're going to deliver, what are the modules, how often are you going to do it. Have all the logistics in your head already done. And then, you know, if you don't sell it in a webinar, maybe it's one-on-one, have a call with one of your ideal clients. You know, set up get acquainted call in and let them know this is a program that you're launching soon. If it's something that they'd be interested in, get them to sign up at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've already got people into your program, into your system, even before you've started to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah,
a great...
Sure.
It's a great ego booster. You know, it's a great confidence booster for you when you're first getting started as well. And for me, like being as shy as I am, like in a networking event, like I'm still, even to this day, I kind of find like the one or two people that I can kind of latch on to. And I'm working through that because I've recognized that that's what I do. But it helps to know, like now that I've recognized that that's what I do, that I can work on that. So if you know that there's a fear around not getting people to sign up or it has to be perfect, recognize those and, you know, do what you need to do to move past those so you can get yourself out there in a big way. Because what we have to offer as mompreneurs, there's so many women business owners coming up right now, especially in the United States alone. you know, we need to get ourselves out there more, and we just need to empower each other to get out there more as well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's not easy, and you need help, and that's, you know, one of the biggest things that I'm committed to is just helping moms do this, because I know a lot of people, you know, I'm really committed to having a family that works, and many of us are calling ourselves mompreneurs because our key reason for doing what we're doing is so that we can spend quality time with our families, you know,
mm-hmm.
and with our kids. And for me, I didn't want to be traveling all over the universe and training and being out of pocket all the time. You know, I couldn't make sense of that. And I know that I'm not alone. And so on we go, you know, on we go. Soon, you know, I believe that we'll be moving our marketplace forward, and we will be able to convert our brilliance into business easier. But now there's an awful lot of pieces to it, you know.
No, I agree, and I'm just like you. Before I became a mom, I was working 24/7 on the
mm-hmm.
business. Like, I would do webinars in the evening because I felt that that's when people had the availability to come on, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night. But after we had Vihan, I said, I don't want to spend the evenings being on a call. If I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I can do it during the day, let's test it out. Do people still
mm-hmm.
come on during the day? Absolutely they do, you know, and it was a shift in the thinking that, okay, well, I know I want my evenings to be dedicated to family time, so we made that switch, and as you go along, you can make those switches in your business, and so now everything webinar-wise, any kind of speaking engagements, everything that we can control, we do it during the daytime,
mm-hmm.
and so we have the evenings
yeah.
free with our son.
Yeah, yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of the first things that I work on is plugging the drains and drips and figuring out what lifestyle you want to lead as a mompreneur, because it is very easy to work all hours of the day and night on your business when you're solopreneuring,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're launching, because you're trying to save money.
Exactly. And sometimes you have to look at the value of spending a little bit of money and how much more time it frees up for you.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Irvi, I know that you have something also. Can you let us know how people can get in touch with you and your PR Easy? Just let us know where you'd like to lead people.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for this opportunity.
My
you know,
pleasure.
If people would love to learn more about, you know, mistakes that they could be making that could be costing them tons of money in the online space, whether it's with their website, whether with social media, we've created a free report, which is available on our site, and they can just go to preasy.com, so it's preasy.com, and they can download the free report, and they'll receive that immediately. And, you know, any questions that they have, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/socialmediagal. That's my Facebook page, and you can post some questions there. And I'm here, you know, to help out all of your listeners, Sina.
Yeah, thank you. And as I always say, I know, Dori, if you're there, but I only bring on people that I have worked with and that I really trust. And so I really think this program is just a gem for moms who are in these earlier phases. Even if you're not in the earlier stages, I had some pretty darn good guests. But the fact is that my guests are all in business in this online space and all experts at what they do. So I only feature people that I completely know will help you move you forward. So thanks for being here. Also wanted to make note of the fact that the website that I live on is sanespaces.com, and anyone is welcome to come to sanespaces.com, especially if you're a mom in transition, if you're a mom in startup, or maybe you're a mom bordering on burnout and you need some help and strategies to get you back in control and get you feeling like you're living the lifestyle you want to live. You can find me at sanespaces.com, and there I have a really great intro video series, which is my compelling offer, but it is how to help you with your strategies of overcoming overwhelm and procrastination. So that's where you can find both Irvi and me, and Andrea Cinnamon, who was on earlier, is found at womenrocktheinternet.com. And with that, Dory, you have anything you want to chat about or any questions for Irvi or me?
You know what? It was just a really great program, as always. And, you know, it was just really excellent information for, you know, how to – I'm sure so many people are out there with ideas that would love to launch some kind of a signature program. And, again, it's the overwhelm of how do I even begin to do this, you know? So I think that, both Irvi and Andrea have really mapped out the steps to take to be able to do this, and this is what the Business Spotlight is all about. You know, that's why I love Tuesdays, because you and Janice Clark on the Social Media Health Not Hype show, which will be on October 15th, Tuesday the 15th, you both share such incredibly valuable information on how to make your small business look big, you know, because it's all of the steps that you need to take, whether you are doing this on your own, as you were saying, or whether you're hiring out, you know, between the two of you, I just think this is like the best tag team for business. I really do. And again, Blog Talk, it just makes it so easy because it does become that podcast. So we're live on your time. You know, for people that were able to tune in while the show was live, that's great. But, you know, for that mom that's up at 3 in the morning, they can hit this and take all the notes and learn everything that they need to know on their time. So I do think that it's what brings so much value to what you share. So really, thank you so much for another terrific show. So what's coming up? Did you pull it
Yay,
up?
Yay, I'm ready for you, Dory. I get ready.
Good for you.
I get ready every time now. I am so ready to talk. Okay, that one time you caught me, I was like, oh, man, how could I not know this? So, listen, I work in, like, 24-hour increments for the most part. I'm like, okay,
made
it through today. What's on my agenda? So next show on Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, this is going to be a really fun topic, and it is basically parenting and self-care for busy mompreneurs. This is kind of the other side of the mompreneur business quotient, which is how do we take care of the family needs and our own needs. And I'm featuring, believe it or not, 4 guests next show, Dory. So
I know,
it's going to be it'll be a party. I think we should all just bring wine. It's like 1 o'clock. We could do it. We could do like a lunch with a glass of wine.
There you go.
But I have some friends that are going to be joining me. I have Tiffany Kane from Connected to Your Core, and she talks all about parenting from the inside out. I have Stephanie Merchant, the nutrition mom, who does all kinds of counseling on how to feed your kids healthy foods, and she's just incredible. I have Ingrid Pruer, who's the baby sleep whisperer. So if you have young kids and you need to learn how to care for you and yourself and your children in those early stages, Ingrid will be a part of our panel. And I also I haven't completed this equation yet, but I think I'm going to have one other person, Star Starbucks, so she will be with us as well. As long as we can make sure we have her on the agenda. But Star works with moms as well on self-care, taking care of you. So they're all mompreneurs next show, all moms who focus on helping other mothers in the parenting and self-care space. So I can't wait.
Well, believe me, I'll be chiming in on that show because, you know, I've been a work-at-home mom since my kids were 6, 4, and 2, and I became a single mom. And they were never in daycare, never with babysitters. And, you know, all through teenage years, I mean, I would get up in the morning, make the kids breakfast, drive them to school, go up to my office, and the next thing I knew, they were opening up the door at, you know, 3 o'clock when the bus dropped them off. And that was my stop time. And I would come down. I was the cooking, you know, made-from-scratch mom. I've never cooked out of a can or a jar or anything like that. So I'd bake some fresh cookies or make some fresh hummus or whatever, and then we'd be off to practices and games. Half the time I'd have my laptop with me between innings working on stuff, you know, come home, make dinner, get everybody to bed, work for a little longer, and then that's when I would sit down in my hot tub, you know, after everybody was asleep and I was done for my time, which wound up being I would either get up an hour earlier before they got up, but that was in the beginning part when you're working in your business. You know, as your kids get older and your business gets bigger and stronger, you start working on your business, and then the night times ended and I wasn't working, you know, so it is. It's a lot, but it's doable, and that's what makes mompreneurs just such a special group, because it is finding that business, that balance between building your business and raising your family, and that's what it's all about. So thanks again for a great show, Nina. We'll be here Thursday on the Mompreneur Model Show with my guest, Sharon Abbott, talking about the Ultimate Business University. So until then, this is Dori DiCarlo on behalf of Zina Block and everyone else here at Word of Mom Radio. Make a marvelous you. Bye for now.